Hello and welcome back to the Gucci Podcast. This episode is the first in an exciting new mini-series dedicated to Vault, Gucci's latest fashion adventure from the imagination of creative director Alessandro Michele. In this episode, fashion philosopher Shahid Abari introduces us to Vault and what it represents. Over the series, she'll be talking about fashion history with the archive editor at Vogue, and about the future of fashion with a new wave of emerging designers from around the world. We're starting, though, with an essay, where Shahida explores the idea that fashion is a form of time travel, in which vintage is never old and the future is now. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Vault miniseries. Vault is Gucci's latest adventure from creative director Alessandro Michele. I'm Shahida Bari, Professor of Fashion Cultures and Histories at London College of Fashion, and for this Gucci podcast mini-series, we'll be taking a deep dive into the cabinet of curiosities that is Vault. Vault is a digital space created by Gucci where you can learn about the storied heritage of the house. It's a place to discover a new wave of designers, a showcase for work from the best of emerging talent from around the world. And it's an online concept store where you can purchase exclusive vintage pieces, hand-picked by Alessandro and the house's expert archivists. It's Gucci history, lovingly restored and placed in your hands. Remember, everything will be vintage one day. We're starting our Vault podcast series by travelling back in time from 2021, the year in which we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Gucci, back to 1921, where it all started on a little Italian street. In 1921, the first Gucci store was opened on the Via della Vigna Nuova in the Duomo district of Florence by a man called Guccio Gucci, the son of a leather maker who would also prove himself in time to be a visionary businessman and entrepreneur. There's an early black and white photo of that first store on that little Italian road. It captures a fleeting moment in time on the cusp of fashion history, just before everyone would know the Gucci name. In the photo, a single uniformed attendant stands stiffly at the entrance to the building, classical and austere. The name G. Gucci is emblazoned in large letters above the door to the store, along with the fateful words declaring its purpose. Fabbrica articoli di viaggio per letteria, manufacturer of travel items for leather goods. Just to the left of the store, casually parked nearby on the cobblestone street, is a black Fiat Bellina, a sleek little car with a shiny grille. A poster board perched precariously on its roof declares its business. Valigieria di Gucci, luggage by Gucci. In this photo, you can see the modest beginnings of the Gucci brand and the iconic design it would pioneer through the 20th century and into the 21st. Now, cut to 100 years on. In 2021, Gucci opened its archive, a staggeringly beautiful collection of the house's most iconic pieces from the last 100 years. Housed in a five-story Renaissance palazzo just across the river from the original store in the Oltrano neighbourhood of Santo Spirito. Painstakingly restored to its old glory, the palace is now a portal into the illustrious world of Gucci, a wonderland of incalculably precious objects. Inside, you'll find endless vitrines containing pristinely preserved bamboo-handled bags, decade after decade of embossed travel trunks. The archive is a time machine, taking you from the foulard with floral prints designed by illustrator Vittorio Aconiro in the 1960s to the shimmering jewel-encrusted gowns with their silvery aqua iridescence, swooping from high neck to floor-skimming hem, concocted by Alessandro Michele in the 2020s. The Palazzo Settimani was acquired by Gucci back in 1953. And since that time, it's been a factory, a workshop, even a showroom. Now refurbished as an archive, it's more than simply a repository for vintage objects. It's a place which preserves the past. But, as Alessandro himself explains, it is also a bridge to the contemporary. And it's this idea of fashion as an experience of time, a bridge between the historic and the modern, that we'll be exploring with Volt today too. Later in the series, we'll be talking about fashion history with Led Borelli-Persson, the archive editor at Vogue, and we'll be talking to a new wave of emerging designers from around the world who are thinking about the fashion future. In this episode, though, we're going to think about fashion time. Time that is not simply linear and chronological, but connective, moving back and forth between what once was and what might be. Because that's key to how we understand Gucci now. Fashion has, from its very beginnings, been about time. What's in fashion right now and will be out of fashion soon. When we imagine the periods of human history, we sometimes characterise them by the varying styles of dress, as if fashion were something that could be neatly cut off at a certain moment in time and compartmentalised to define an age. Even fashion historians have tended to tell the story of fashion era by era, decade after decade, century by century. But what if we could think differently, more adventurously about time? And what if fashion itself could encourage us to do so? Conventionally, the rules of being fashionable dictate that we dress to identify with our own time. Our clothes can be the expression of a zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. What we wear allows us to claim our belonging to a particular place in time. Some of us dress in an effort to be ahead of our time, even aspiring to lead stylishly into a new age. But when we decide on what is fashionable in our time, we are fleetingly in agreement, in concurrence, that this is the moment that we live in, and this bag, this scarf, this dress is what defines it. This means that fashion is precious, just like time is precious. It's a moment of communion, of sensory community, when we decide together what looks and feels right for the fleeting moment that we are in. The French philosopher Roland Barthes, writing about what he called the fashion system in 1967, describes the relationship between fashion and time as one of violence. Fashion, he writes, is vengeful. It takes its revenge on the past and each year sacrifices the designs of the preceding year. It is only today, he writes, that this print will be acceptable for attending the races. But what if we could rethink fashion, not as vengeful, but generous, not violent, but considerate, not dispensing with the past, but curating it, caring for it, collecting up its fragments and incorporating it again and again into a constantly evolving present. Fashion is, Barthes acknowledges, an art form like no other, curiously capable of marking time. Perhaps one of the difficulties of thinking about fashion and time is the immutability of the fashion season, the obstinacy of the spring, summer and the autumn winter collections, and the regularity of the fashion calendar with its fashion weeks, fashion capitals and mid-season ranges. Fashion, as anyone in the industry will tell you, is a treadmill, a marathon, an exhausting enterprise without respite. The idea of fashion seasons has its origins in 17th century France and the court of King Louis XIV, and a magazine called the Mercure Galant, the first of its kind to cover fashion as a serious news story. The magazine's goal was to inform elegant society about life at court, reporting on intellectual debates and artistic movements, but it also included fashion reviews alongside literary criticism and political discussion. The Mercure Galant played a crucial part in communicating new trends in luxury goods and aristocratic style, publishing irregularly at first and then on a monthly basis. Articles on the latest fashions would be accompanied by illustrations so that avid readers could follow and imitate court fashions, promoting the idea that fashion was something to be consumed, and hungrily, because it would rapidly change with each new edition. It was later, in the early 20th century with the development of French couture that the modern fashion calendar, with its biennial fashion seasons as we know it, spring, summer and autumn, winter, was established. The seasons would come as regular as clockwork, year after year. And since then, over the decades, the fashion calendar has grown more and more cluttered. Today, there are over 100 fashion weeks in different cities, in different time zones across the world. All of this is to say that the fashion industry depends on a strict schedule of fashion production and fashion change. This schedule promotes the idea that fashion is transient, and just as the specific fashions of a specific time ground us in the present, they also promise that fashion change is coming again, soon, just around the corner. But what if we could think differently about the relationship between fashion and time? In 2020, Gucci announced its desire to step away from the seasonal calendar, moving from 5 shows a year to 2 seasonless collections. Alessandro explained his belief that clothes should have a longer life than that which seasons attribute to them, describing the worn-out ritual of seasonalities and shows, and imagining fashion with a different and new cadence. There is an important point here about fashion and sustainability, of course, but there's also something else. The very nature of fashion and its complicated relationship to time. Sometimes we talk about the timelessness of fashion, of the classic pieces that never date or exhaust our interest, that are eternally beautiful and might deserve to be carefully preserved in an archive. But perhaps what we mean by timelessness is not only about permanence or eternity, but about the way that certain garments seem to challenge time, travelling in time from the past to the present, bending time so that the future can seem suddenly close at hand rather than a remote possibility. Sometimes the print on a particular dress, the handle of a specific bag, or the logo on a piece of luggage can feel like it belongs to 2, 3, 4 different times at once. The Italian philosopher Giorgio Agamben once described the way that fashion manipulates time. It creates an invisible threshold between what is no more and what is not yet. And Agamben is right to think that fashion sustains a complex relationship to time. It is, in fact, an articulation of our experience of time, something that is instable, changeable, in flux. Fashion is haunted by the past, and it can be daring in imagining the future. And so the clothes we wear encourage us to think about time differently, not as a chronology and linear succession, but as a continuous flow, back and forth. Perhaps we should think of it like the double G's of a Gucci belt, where one overlaps with and is interlocked with the other, the past and the present inseparable, connected and unbreakable. Actually, the French philosopher Michel Serres preferred to describe time as a crumpled handkerchief. If you take a handkerchief, he explained, and spread it out to iron it flat, you can see in this smoothed out surface the fixed lines of its edges and points of its corners. But if you take the same handkerchief and crumple it, perhaps stuffing it in your pocket so that it acquires new creases and folds, then those once fixed lines and points are given different distances and proximities. They are suddenly brought close to each other even. Maybe this is the way to think about fashion and time, not as a straight line or a flat surface, but as something that can be crumpled so that different moments of the past are in touch with each other at any given moment. And it can be snatched up and crumpled again differently, again and again. With that in mind, let's go back to that photo of the first Gucci store that opened its doors on the Via della Vigna Nuova 100 years ago in 1921, and that name, G. Gucci, emblazoned above the entrance. Guccio Gucci had been born in Florence 40 years earlier on the 28th of March 1881. His father had been a thriving leather craftsman, and so Guccio was the latest in an honourable line of skilled leather makers. As a young man, he was ambitious and travelled to Paris to observe artisanal leather makers there, later settling in London and taking a job at the Savoy Hotel as a lift boy. It was there that he found himself with a bystander's view of British high society. He noticed one thing in particular, their passion for equestrian sports, polo and horse racing. He carried those observations back home to Italy, where he opened his own business in Florence. Saddles, saddlebags and leather goods, decorated with equestrian embellishments, would feature in his early product lines, specifically the horse bit, that timeless motif of the Gucci brand. The horse bit is an iconic piece of hardware. The two D-shaped rings fused by two bars that meet, firmly clasped in the middle, silently signals steadfastness, elegance, and strength. Over the decades, it's been translated into myriad different forms. You'll find it as the golden accent on the flap of a handbag, the hardware on a belt, miniaturized as cufflinks, translated into a pattern and embossed on leather, suede, and velvet. Repeated endlessly in silk print and sculpted into jewellery, once even appearing on the grille of a car, the customised Gucci Hornet Sportabout of 1972 made by American Motors. In 1953, Gucci produced its immortal Gucci loafer, originally a leather moccasin for men. For additional elan, the shoe was finished with a horse bit, placed on the upper like a cherry on a cake, a final touch of refinement. In 1977, the New York Times declared that the Gucci loafer came with a pedigree no other moccasin can ever claim. And in 1985, the Gucci loafer went on display at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, becoming part of the permanent collection. In recent years, it's become more ironic, playfully normcore, for a whole new young generation of loafer wearers loafing around. What I mean by all this is that iconic design travels in time, like the horse bit from the English equestrianism that Guccio observed in London at the beginning of the 20th century, which since then has spiralled into so many forms, surfacing again and again throughout Gucci's history. And every time it resurfaces, it reaches back to that original moment too, not just connecting the past to the present, but acknowledging fashion itself as something dynamic, alert to its own history and constantly striving to give it new life. Time is a handkerchief, said the philosopher Michel Serres, and crumpled in our hand, different moments in time connect with others. But maybe time is not simply a handkerchief. Maybe it's a Gucci floral scarf, tied jauntily at the neck or wound elegantly as a headscarf. It was Italian illustrator Vittorio Aconiero who designed the Gucci floral in 1966 for Grace Kelly. When the actress visited the atelier to purchase a bamboo-handled bag, another iconic Gucci piece, Rodolfo Gucci, the son of Guccio, wanted to present her with a gift, and so he commissioned the illustrator to design a painterly floral scarf in her honour. Grace's Gucci scarf features 43 types of flowers, plants and insects, and 37 different colours. Since 1966, it's been a signature of the Gucci brand, eternally associated with the Princess of Monaco and revisited recently by Alessandro in his Aria collection. What does it mean to revisit an iconic design like this? Well, fashion is a continuous process of quotation, juxtaposition and reassembly, where old motifs are infused with new visions. And returning to the past is an act of respect too, honouring a tradition, the pledging of a commitment, like a vow made, where makers recognise their responsibilities as the keeper of a flame or the curator of an archive, like the one at the Palazzo Settimani. The word curation finds its origins in the Latin word cura, to care, and it is cognate to the word secure too. An archive is an effort to secure the past so that it might never be lost. But that doesn't mean it can be left as a mausoleum or a dusty museum. Instead, it must be a living, revivifying space in order to properly care for the objects that have mattered to us over time. Human life is fleeting, of course, but the inanimate objects we make, buy, carry, covet, live with and long for often promise to outlive us. In doing so, they might preserve something important about our concerns, our connections, our desires and preoccupations. The way that we experience time is not linear or even cyclical, but more arbitrary and unpredictable than that. It's a series of encounters. Fashion anchors us in particular moments of time, but it can also articulate multiple times. It can be a brilliant and dazzling confusion of influences, where different looks collide. A 20s debutante meets a 50s housewife. The Medicis meet tweedy English aristocrats. A mint blouse crashes into a scarlet skirt. An 18th century dandy makes friends with a Hell's Angel. Pearls drape over snakeskin, and so on. Fashion scrambles time. It scours through the past and collects the colours, prints, designs, ideas and influences that once inspired us and reassembles them in a new time and in a new space. Like an archive, a vault is a sacred kind of space. It is somewhere to secure something precious. But how do we keep those things alive, vivid and changing? Well, to vault means to turn or to leap too. And in this podcast series, we're going to find radically adventurous and new ways of moving through fashion time, its iconic history and its future too. Gucci's vault, you'll discover, can take so many forms. It's a wardrobe, one moment, then a treasure chest, a cabinet of curiosities, a sanctum, a stage, a laboratory in which to experiment, and a wonderland in which to dream. So, don't miss the next episode in the Vault miniseries. Coming up, we'll be talking with the archive editor at Vogue, Laird Borelli-Pearson, and we'll be talking with the best of emerging talent from around the world. So take the imaginative leap and join us for Vault.
Thank you for listening. Discover more about Vault in the episode's notes.